Hello, and welcome to episode 85 of the Dragons Are Real podcast. My name is Pete Jones. So, ZineQuest is coming to a conclusion now, being a very successful year. We're down to the last week or so. Currently, there are 325 zines that have been released, part of ZineQuest 3, of which 274 are funded. It's been heavy on the wallet. I've currently backed 20. I know I said a while ago I wasn't going to back anymore, but there's still some great ones coming out. So I thought I would just mention a couple more of interest before we get onto our main subject. The first one is Repugnant by Terrible Games. This one is pick one of five revolting races and select your messy mutation in this turgid tabletop tale. Then pop some zits and fling some chits at whatever puss pack problems the collector throws at you and your party. This one is £7 in digital and £11 in print. Next up is Siege Pocket Warfare by Zach Goins. This one is £3 digital, £4 print, and it's not even a zine, this one. It's a piece of A4 paper that's folded up, but it gives you a modular battle defense system to fuse with any RPG. And he's taken the mechanics from Pandemic, mixed it up so that you can have four little clocks that you've got to beat before something bad happens to you. So for £3, you can't go wrong. Back in episode 42, I covered the Mouse Ritter RPG, which is a mouse RPG similar to Mouse Guard, but nice and simple, and it's pay what you want on itch. Well, there's a third-party zine for Mouse Ritter as part of ZineQuest called the Vita Kernis by Brian Staffer. It's a Mouse Ritter supplement containing a settlement and an adventure ready to slot into any hack scroll or be run on its own. And it centres around Ruby Grove, a mouse settlement built into the treetops of a peaceful grove. This one is £4 in digital and £9 in print. And the last one I want to mention of interest is 3DIE6, that's 3DIE6, by Tabletops and Tentacles. Welcome to the Shimmer, a subterranean world of glowing mushrooms, strange creatures, winding tunnels, and death. In 3DIE6, you play a member of the Roan, a city of little creatures that are part bug, part human, maybe a little bit alien, and a lovely shade of blue. They also die all the time. And at its heart, this is an old-school dungeon crawler with elements of Fuddle and OSR games. This one's £5 in digital and £9 in print. Feel free to check those out. They've only got a few days left, and I think we might have some call-ins.
Hey there, Pete. It's John here from the Red Dice Diaries. I've got to admit, when I saw the title of your latest episode, Quest RPG, Ideal for Newcomers, I was like, oh, thank goodness he's not pointing me towards any more zines on ZineQuest, so I don't have to worry. And then, what do I know about it? You've snuck a few in at the start, and there's a promise of more coming. What are you trying to do to me, dude? I mean, my wallet's already tapping out in the corner, like, screaming for mercy. No, seriously, that I'm only kidding, dude. I'm really actually enjoying the ZineQuest episodes, as I enjoyed this Quest RPG episode, and it's nice to see the amount of creative stuff that's going out there. And because most of them are offering, like, PDF versions, which is what I'm mainly concentrating on because of, like, the P&P being a bit ridiculous at the minute for some of them, as I said earlier, I'm being able to probably back a lot more than I would if I was getting the hard copy. So that's been really great. It's been great to encourage some talent. So enjoy the episode, dude.
And that was John Allen Large of the Red Dice Diaries. I know, sneaky, wasn't that? It's a bit of clickbait there. You think you're going to get something else and slip a couple of zines in undercover. And guess what? If you've got this far, you know I've already done it today. Put a few more in. There's just been so much content in ZineQuest. I've just been so impressed. And as Froth said on his podcast, my hat goes off to all those zine creators, whether they funded or not. They've done some fantastic content this year. And those that don't fund, I do hope they get them out. I'm just sorry I couldn't help you all out. I've backed 20, and that's enough. But yeah, thanks very much, John. And I'll speak to you again soon. Okay, next up, we've got a voice from the past.
You know, I'm eating pork rinds here, and I'm drinking my Coca-Cola Icy from Murphy's USA, and I got a bad pork rind. It tasted like this rendering plant that I used to ride my bike by on the north side of Fort Worth, Texas, right by this rendering plant. This pork rind tasted like that. It was just a foul, foul, disgusting thing. I can't get the flavor out of my mouth even with this Coca-Cola Icy. But I'm sitting here listening to podcasts and listening to Pete Jones. I haven't listened to Pete Jones in a while, but I see it in an episode of Maze Rats, and I love me some Maze Rats. I've played Maze Rats. I know the game. I know all about the game. I've read the book multiple times, but I still listen just because I like the game that much. I want to listen to another recap episode of Maze Rats. And he mentions this zine that's come out, this zine promises to be a episode of One Piece mixed with the Simpsons episode with the Space Coyote. And I have to ask, Pete, do you know what One Piece is? Does Pete Jones know what One Piece is?
And that's a great call-in from the malodorous Miasma, also known in some parts as TJ. One Piece. No, I don't know One Piece. I've had to use a bit of my Google fool. It's not something I've seen over here, but for those that don't know, it is a cartoon. According to IMDb, follow the adventures of Monkey D. Luffy and his pirate crew in order to find the greatest treasures over the legendary pirate Gold Roger. And this is it anime? It could be anime, but it's certainly Japanese and it looks way cool. So thanks for putting me onto that one, Melodious Miasma. I think I'm going to check that one out. But after those call-ins, it's time to get onto the main subject. So today's main subject is journeys in role-playing games. And I'm not talking about exploration games or hex exploration. I'm talking about journeys. That is getting from point A to point B in your adventure or your campaign. And there's usually two ways this comes about in the games. The first one is that every day or every hour, however long the journey is, you roll a random event to see if it occurs. And in the old OSR days, it was if you rolled a one, then there was a random event. And then you'd roll on some random event tables. And then you'd have some random encounter. And sometimes these random encounters went on for ages and took up an hour or longer as you fought off some random creature. And although these random tables were supposed to have a flavour of the adventure or the mine or whatever you were exploring, quite often they didn't, and it was a bit jarring. The other way was one that you hand-waved it. You're leaving point A, you're going to point B, and the GM would say, yeah, you travel for 3 days, nothing happens, the sun shines, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Let's just hand-wave it and get on to the interesting bits. So I thought, let's have a look at how some of the other games out there are managing this. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Adventures in Middle-earth, because, as you may have guessed, that's what I'm already playing. And this boils it down into its own like mini game, and you have a journey phase. And in step one on the journey phase, the party has to assign tasks to each of the characters. So you have a guide, a scout, a hunter, a lookout, and they have to plan the routes they're going to in point B. And each of these PC has a task, and they may be called on in the journey to do certain roles or to do certain things, depending on what their task is. The GM then decides a peril rating, which is a number between 1 and 5, which depends on the difficulty of the terrain and the familiarity of the route. Then the player, that is the guide, makes an embarkation roll, which is a d12, and they add their survival proficiency bonus and half their wisdom bonus, subtract the peril rating, and that is a random table with nice flavoured events of what's happening as they set off. Then, depending on the length of the journey, there are a number of journey events. So anything Adventures in Middle-earth that is under 15 hexes is a short journey, and you have 1d2 events on that. A medium journey is up to 40 hexes, and that's a d2 plus 1 events. And the long journey is 41 hexes or more, which is a d3 plus 2 events. And there's obviously modifiers for terrain. And the difficulty rating depends on the peril, and it's 12 plus the power rating. So the more perilous the journey, the higher the DC rating is. And any event that happens or any checks that need to be made are on that DC rating for the entire journey. And then you roll for your events, which is, again, another D12 table, but that can be modified by your embarkation results if you had a good result or a bad result to start off with. And in the Adventures of Middle-earth, they've got some generic events, and then each of the campaign books has got some really nice localized events. And then when you eventually get to your destination, the guide makes an arrival roll, which is a D8 roll on another table, but this is modified by his embarkation initial modifier and any terrain modifiers and any other modifiers they may have got in between. So Adventures in Middle-earth really does a mini game within your campaign, and it works really nicely. So what else is up there? Well, Fellowship is a Powered by the Apocalypse game, and again, they make journeys a big thing. Again, it's a Middle-earth setting, and the long journey is one piece of the greater narrative of the game. And during the journey, each player tells the Games Master one event that happened along the way, and the GM can pick any player they want to start off. The GM, you may help them along by saying things like, what did you find off the beaten path, or who did you meet on the road? And after that player describes the event, they choose another player at the table who says how they handled it. And this goes around the table. Each player says how they handled the event, and then they create a new event and they pass that on to a new player. And eventually it returns back to the GM. And so you get built up a nice little story, a little montage of what's happening. And then after you've resolved all the events, you make it to your destination. So a journey is... it's narrative, but it makes it a bit more interesting. And I thought about, yeah, that's quite a good way to do that. So you could even simplify that even further for any game. You just ask a player what went wrong along the way. Then you ask another player how it got worse. And then you turn to the third player and how it got resolved. So there are nice ways to simplify it. Another one that always comes up mentioned when talking of journeys is Ironsworn. And Ironsworn is... it's sort of a Powered by the Apocalypse game. It's certainly inspired by it with slightly different mechanics. And it's a solo adventure game. And they say from the outset, you only undertake a journey when it's going to be interesting. And like Adventures in Middle-earth, you set the rank of your journey. It can be troublesome, dangerous, formidable, extreme, or epic. And for each part of the journey, you have a number of progress points per waypoint. So a troublesome journey would be 3 progress per waypoint, while an epic journey would be 1 progress per waypoint. And for each segment of the journey, you roll one of your attributes, and on a strong hit, which in Powered by the Apocalypse games is usually either 10 plus, or in this case you get 2 successes against the GM's roll, you reach a waypoint. And if the waypoint is unknown to you, you envision it, or you ask the GM to add some more. On a weak hit, you reach the waypoint and mark progress but suffer -1 supply, and on a miss, you are waylaid by a Paris event. Whenever the PC feel like it, they can make a progress move using the amount of progress in their progress track as their metric by which they measure against the challenge dice that get rolled. And then when you get to the journey comes to an end, you roll the challenge dice and compare it to your progress. And on a strong hit, the situation at your destination favours you. On a weak hit, you arrive but face an unforeseen hazard or complication. And on a miss, you have gone hopelessly astray. Your objective is lost, or you were misled about your destination. So there's several little mini games going on there. You're trying to add to your progress, but you're trying to deal with things, so it gives it a nice feel to it. Another one that comes up again is another Powered by the Apocalypse world, and PBTA games seem to do this better than most other games that I've seemed to come across. In Perilous Wilds, which is a supplement for Dungeon World, you journey when you travel by a safe route through safe or dangerous lands, and you indicate a destination on your map. The GM will tell you how long the trip takes and what, if anything, happens along the way. And when you reach your destination, you choose someone to manage provisions to determine how many rations were consumed over the course of the trip. If you want to take a perilous journey, then when you travel through the dangerous lands and not on a safe route, you indicate the course you want to take on the map and ask the GM how far you should be able to get before you need to make camp. If you're exploring a no-set destination, you indicate which way you go, and then choose one party member to scout ahead, one to navigate, and resolve those moves in order. And then there are other moves you can do along the way. So, for example, if you're foraging, you may gain provisions, you may encounter dangers, or the GM makes a move against you. When making camp, you manage your provisions by using some. You might have a peaceful night, you might have an incident, or danger may approach you. And this works really well with the moves system in Powered by the Apocalypse games. Scouting ahead, you might spot an ambush, you might come across some enemy or notice some enemy in the area. You may engage some knowledge of your terrain. And by navigating, you may avoid dangers, again make a discovery, or a move made against you. So these moves really adds the flavor, and also you can tailor these moves for the type of game you're playing. While I was researching this, a blog post that kept coming up on the radar and suggested by people was Getting There is Half the Fun by the Angry GM. And I'll put a link to this blog in the show notes, and I think it's worth looking at. Basically, you assume that travel happens off camera and you narrate a line on the map and then zoom back in when the player's at the interesting part. And if you think about the Indiana Jones with the movie dots on the map, if nothing happens, you see the dots progress across the map and they get to the destination. Or if something happens along the way, like the plane gets shot down, then the dots stop and then you deal with the situation or have a random encounter. So that is a good little blog post there worth checking out. Another one worth checking out is Random Campfire Events from Zenith Games blog. And he's got 200 random campfire events. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that. That is well worth having a look if you want some inspiration or you just want some random events. And the last one I'm going to mention is an OSR game. Yes, I managed to get an OSR game in there. It's Ultraviolet Grasslands. And this is a great little book. If you're on a journey every week of travel, you remove one sack of supplies per human-sized person from the caravan that you're traveling, because this is all land travel and you travel in caravans. One hero tests their charisma for misfortune, and this misfortune applies to the whole caravan, but heroes can resist the misfortune individually. And each week, a different hero must test, so it moves the charisma around. You just can't have your best charisma-loaded character doing the test every time. You check to see what encounters happen and resolve them, and any hero that did not participate in a fight or flight can treat the week as a long rest. And as you know, in the old D&D games, long rests are really important. You check if the caravan has arrived at its destination. And in the UVG settings, most destinations are about a week apart, but some are two or maybe even three. If the caravan has not yet arrived at a safe location, you repeat the steps above. And when the caravan arrives at the destination, one hero makes a moderate relevant test for discoveries and notes any on the map. These are points of interest a few days' journey from the destination. But instead of travelling a caravan, you may stop for a full week, and when a caravan is stopped in the wilderness, each hero may take one of the following actions before removing a sack of supplies. They can forage for supplies, they can care for another character, they can set an ambush, they can study looking for artifacts or scrolls, they can hide the camp trying to avoid encounters, they can explore for additional discoveries, they can buy and sell trade goods, and if they have to pay expenses for lodging and food rather than consuming, then they have to do so. So there are a few different ways you can spice up your journeys. And I would suggest having a look at one or more of them, because just hand-waving it is not fun unless it's a short journey. And completely random encounters, again, that's not much fun. So with a little bit of work, there are some ideas for you to look at to how to make your journeys a bit more interesting. I hope you found that interesting, a little change from doing my reviews, and I've got maybe one or two more like that I'd like to throw in to give you some ideas for other little things in your game. That is all for this episode, so I'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember, if you want more information, check out the website at petejones.neocities.org. The blog is at dragonsarealpodcast.tumblr.com. You can leave me a voicemail, or you can send me an email at dragonsarealpodcast@pm.me. And I'll see you all on the flip side.